God, thanks so much for today. God, thank you for every person that's here. God, thank you for an extra hour of sleep last night. And Lord, I just pray for Matea as she prepares her heart, as finances are coming in. God, she just prepares to go. God, I'm thankful that your word says, who can I send? And she said, God, send me. I'll go. And so, Lord, I'm thankful for just her heart to serve, her heart to give these next couple months to be on the mission field. And so, God, we support that. And Lord, I just pray money comes in. God, I just pray for Matea Bauman right now in Jesus' name. God, I'm thankful for a church where we can have fun, where we can laugh, a church that digs deep, a church that goes deeper in your word. And God, I just pray these next couple minutes that you just help us. Help us to see clearly. God, show us the truth of who you are. God, not the truth of just who we are, but the truth of who you are. God, I pray whatever it is that you're revealing, God, I pray that we would see your word come alive in us today, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen, amen. Amen. We're in Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read these couple verses. On the YouVersion app, it'll be on the screens, or you can look in your Bible. It says this in verse 4. Always, it's a dramatic statement right here. Dramatic statement, right? We got teenagers in the house. It's drama. What is it? You always do that to me, Dad. You're always like that. No, I'm not. This is Paul, though, telling the Philippian church, always be full of joy in the Lord. And then for some of us, we're like, what did he just say? And so he says, I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Somebody say everyone. Oh, I like that we select a few. Anyway, remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace. When will I experience God's peace? You'll experience God's peace when you learn how to pray, when you learn how to lean, when you learn how to trust. Then we will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Again, this series, we're not talking about easy things. We're talking about difficult things. In fact, moving mountains are difficult. Personal mountains, they are difficult. Several years ago, I had a confrontation moment where someone confronted me. And in this confrontation, there were wrong expectations in this confrontation. And this confrontation created a fear in me. It exposed something in me that now, 5 years later, is good. But in the moment, it created a fear or an insecurity in me, because you will do damage, and I would say more damage, when you confront in the wrong way than if you don't confront at all. Which is why, for a majority of us in this room, we choose not to confront. Okay? Again, as I've said before, when we fail to confront, we confirm. Okay? This doesn't mean we fail to confront, because when I fail to confront, in my silence, I'm confirming whatever it is that's going on. So we have to talk, but we also have to understand, when we learn about one another and we learn about other people, both are shocking. When you learn about you, when you learn about other people, have you ever been shocked in a relationship where you really saw the true nature of a person that you're in a relationship with? How about when you saw the true nature of how you were? This is what confrontation does, and it's necessary. But I will say this. It is a discovery process, and I will say, it was the first time in my adult life that I questioned my calling that God had on my life. Okay? I'll get into this a little bit later. I want to talk about a guy today that really loved God. This guy, seeing the faithfulness of God, he saw the power of God in ways that we can't even fathom. He saw the provision of God, and his name is Elijah. And Elijah, and we can go there if you want, in 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to talk about it. Elijah, in this context of what we're going to read, Elijah, actually confronted an evil king in King Ahab. And he called him out on his sin. And he prophesied a drought would happen significantly in this land. And this drought would be significant for the kingdom. And Elijah came against a lot of forces. And for 3 years, Elijah was on the run. For 3 years, Elijah was hiding out. For 3 years, Elijah saw God was faithful. For 3 years, God provided. And the Bible says that there was a time, and this is to me really cool, where Elijah stood down 800 false prophets of Baal. See, Ahab the king was worshiping a pagan god in Baal. And in worshiping this pagan god, they came at one another. This was a confrontation moment. This to me is in the Bible. When you read 1 Kings, you see this is where Elijah is talking smack for all my athletes that like to talk trash. This is Elijah doing this. There's a time, even in my own life, and I've shared this story before, but is Nick here? Yeah, Nick Wilson. See, Nick in the back. Nick was actually has this a unique advantage. Because 20 years ago, he was in my youth group. So he knows Jamie as a youth pastor, which is very scary. And so please don't talk to him afterwards. And there was a moment, and Nick, I didn't say I was going to talk about this, but there's this moment where we were at, after our youth group on a Saturday night, we were at family fun time. Remember the story, Nick? Yeah, you do. One of our kids in our youth group was getting chippy with the manager of Family Fun Time and talking back and forth, and all of a sudden they got into a confrontation. And the confrontation turned into some physical fighting. And all of a sudden, people from the kitchen at Family Fun Time start coming out, and at this moment, it's me, my wife, and about 12 kids, and no offense to Nick, but he's a scrawny little kid at the moment. And not people you're going to want to fight the kitchen crew with, just an FYI, okay? Seemed like every muscle kid in the youth group had already left, just throwing that out there. So here they come out, and it's mostly girls. It's like this confrontation where you're standing in front of this kitchen crew, and the manager is belligerent. I personally think he's probably got some alcohol in him, and it's not good, right? So it's this confrontation moment. It's kind of like my moment where it's like, this isn't good. Do we run or do we stand our ground? And my wife had, at this point, intervened, and she's talking to somebody, and somebody from the kitchen crew took his hand and kind of shoved my wife backwards. And it's the only time in my life that I can ever remember outside of my sister, me coming in and just cold cocking them. Now, in my mind, I stood over him and was like, booyah, and I was doing all these other things, but that didn't actually really happen. I remember calling my pastor from Family Fun Time as the cops were arriving and saying, this is what happened, to which I was never allowed back at Family Fun Time. Here's the beauty. Family Fun Time is no longer in business, but I'm still here. Anyway. You know, in the paper, I swear to you, this is the best. And again, I've said this before, and my real name, the name my parents gave me, is Larry. Okay, those of you who didn't know that, it actually works in my advantage this time, though, because in the paper, this paper, kids, is when people would actually get a paper, and you would sit down and you would read it, and I'm just letting you know what it is. And in the paper, here's the headlines: church group scuffles. It's like, that's a good headline. And it says, Larry Bridges, my dad. Advantage me, right? This is what's happening with Elijah. 800 people coming at him. 800 people questioning God. 800 people saying, your God is not real. 800 people. And the Bible says that he stood boldly. And he stood before these. And he watched as God showed up. And he watched this victory that happened. He calls fire down from heaven. Unbelievable things that happened. Triumph, victory, all these things. 1 Kings chapter 19 is where we'll pick up. Verse 1. It says, when Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he killed the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. And he went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone unto the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat under a solitary broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Then he lay down and he slept under the broom tree. Picture this for a moment. You stand in front of 800 false prophets. You, by yourself. You call down fire from heaven and God shows up. Then somebody comes to you and gives you a message. Okay? This isn't like Jezebel came. Okay? Gives you a message. And the message is, I'm coming for you. And he runs for his life. Now, this past week, I've annoyed my family more than usual by playing Kanye a lot. Okay? I know. Boo all you want to. People question your salvation too. Anyway, so. And on the way to school, as me and Lila are listening, there's a part in the end of one of the songs that says, Jezebel don't even stand a chance. And Lila goes, who's Jezebel? To which we started having this conversation about Jezebel. Listen, until you conquer the Jezebels in your life, you're always going to live in insecurity. You might have this unbelievable victory. And you might have been just stood down 800 prophets of Baal. And one thing happens. 5 years ago, you want to know when the confrontation happened in my life? The day after we won a state championship. The day after. Where am I? I'm in this triumphant moment. I'm on this cloud nine moment. I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm solidified in what God has called me to do. And then this confrontation happens and says, I question what God has called you to do. And what happens? I run. A victory happens. The enemy knows that when a victory happens, he knows how to get under your skin. How else do you declare that 800 people were just defeated and one woman sends a message and the Bible says you run? Because that's what you and I do. We run. This is what it says. He ran. And the Bible says that he ran a whole day. Some estimate that he ran up to 100 miles away. He ran so that he could get away. Look throughout scriptures. God calls Jonah. What's he do? He runs the opposite direction. God calls Moses. What's he do? He runs back into slavery. Why? Because you and I think that we can outrun God. We cannot. We cannot. It's revealing that you and I have anxiety issues. It's a real fear, you guys. It is a real fear that we have these issues. And he didn't recognize it. He did not recognize it. Elijah ran himself into the ground. A couple years ago when we moved to Omaha, I was there by myself for about 4 weeks. And I had a van that I loved to have and to drive. The problem was that van did not have, my gas gauge did not work. So 3 times in that month, I ran out of gas. Okay, quite the first impression. And I ran out of gas and I had to call someone that I did not know in a town I did not know with a group of people I did not know and say to them, I ran out of gas. First time, grace. Second time, what is your problem? Third time, you need to go back to St. Louis, right? It's like, what is happening? and we run out of gas a lot. We run away a lot for a lot of different reasons. We run. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, listen, Elijah ran for his life. See, some of you, you're running away from what God has called you to do, all because there's fear there, there's anxiety there, you're questioning your calling, you're questioning what God has asked you to do, you're questioning the big decision that's in front of you. You've just had victory, but now there's doubt. And you're running. You're running away. Not only did he run, but he isolated himself. Look what it says. It says, and he left his servants and he ran. You know what you and I do when we're afraid? You know what you and I do when we don't understand confrontation? You know what you and I do when we're questioning our calling? We isolate ourselves. We get by ourselves. We make all kinds of excuses on why we're by ourselves. And we isolate ourselves from the people that we should be around. The people that can confront us in a right, healthy way. The people that can encourage us. The people that can grow us even deeper into our relationship that we have to have with God. But that's not what he says he did. He says he isolated himself. He isolated himself. To isolate yourself means to be in a state of being alone or apart from others. So much that we spent a whole series on being better together. The Bible says that Elijah not only ran, but he isolated himself from the people around him. Are you isolating yourself in your fear and your questioning of the God's calling that he has on your life? Maybe you're in this room and you go, you know what? I've had this great victory, but I'm running. We focus on the negative. What he says. Look back at 1 Kings chapter 19, what he says. There he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat under a solitary broom tree and he prayed that he might die. And he says, I've had enough. What have you had enough of? A woman that you called her husband out on his sin. And that woman says to you, I'm going to kill you. And you run. Listen, this is what fear does. This is what anxiety does. It takes something that should never be heightened and makes it a bigger deal than what it really is. Think about what you and I worry about. Think about this. We read this story and we go, what is his problem? You've been running for 3 years, hiding for 3 years, and a woman says to you, I'm going to kill you for what you said and what you did. And he runs and he's focused on the negative. Listen, when you're insecure and you're alone and you're running for your life, the first thing that you and I usually do is we get negative. We got to stop being negative and speaking word curses over our lives. Stop focusing on the negative and focus on the faithfulness of what God has already done. 3 years he ran, 3 years he was running from King Ahab, but God showed up. The Bible even says that one day he was so hungry, a raven, a bird brought him food. I mean, come on. Are you not seeing that God is doing incredible miracles? And you may not be getting food from a raven, but God has been faithful to you. He's been faithful to you. Your job, that is faithfulness to God. But a lot of times I like to focus on the negative side of my job. But if I could have better hours, better people. You know what that is? We're sitting under a broom tree and we're going, God, just take this. It's dramatic, you guys. We're being so dramatic. I mean, can we not look at Elijah and be like, oh my gosh, what a drama king. Anybody else? It's like, oh my gosh, you're sitting. Yes, you should be sitting on it. You just ran a lot. Okay, I get it. You should be tired. Sit under that. But to say, I'm no better. Listen, be careful what you say in whatever season you are in your life. Okay? If you're in a season of your life where you're seeing growth and you're seeing God do great things, be careful what you say. Be careful what you're saying. Fear seems to be the root cause of many of our problems. And what we say in these moments of running is very important. The Bible says, and the writer of Hebrews says this, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay? Without faith is impossible. And also in Proverbs 29, 25 says, fear is a trap, but trust in the Lord keeps a man safe. What is this? This is, in your season of life, whatever it is that you are, be careful what you're doing with what you're saying, but also what you're doing with your fear in this moment. When you isolate yourselves from the people around you, and when you run away from what God wants to do, and when you focus on negative things, it will take you further than you ever thought you would ever go. And next thing you know, you're sitting on a tree 100 miles away from everybody, and wondering, God, why am I here? And this is where Elijah is. Paul told the Corinthian church this: who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Don't forget, in whatever season you are in your life, that is Jesus in you that is greater. It is the Jesus in you that has given you the mind of Christ. And what you say and what you think about in this moment matters. And this is what Elijah did. He forgot what God had done. Because so many times we forget. We forget. Do you know that Elijah's name actually means? Like his name. Like, I don't know if you, as a parent, you thought about like names and what you name your kid. Or maybe as parents, you say certain things or, you know, nicknames and stuff like that that you come up with for your kids. But Elijah means my God is provider. Or my God is my breath, or my God is my shelter. This is what it means. Yet in this moment in Elijah's life, he forgets what God has done. Listen, if nothing else today, in whatever season you are in life, whatever your crazy schedule is today, if at nothing else today, sit down and remember what the Lord has done. Get out a journal and remember what God has done in your life. Remember the moments where you know God met you. Remember the moments where you know this had to be a God thing. Remember the moments. Listen, it's not a problem that you're sitting by the broom tree. It's what you do when you get up from the broom tree that is very important. The Bible, as you continue reading that, the Bible says that God said to him, get up. Get up. Go stand on the mountain. Go stand on the mountain. Maybe you know the story, but it says, and then the wind came by, but God wasn't in the wind. Quake came by, but God wasn't in the earthquake. Fire came by, but God wasn't in the fire. And then it says, and he heard God's voice. For God was in the whisper. I thought about this all week. God, how many times do we, in these moments of our life where we're sitting under the broom tree and we're saying things like, God, where are you? Right? We're saying things like, God, I don't understand this. So we start saying things like, we start saying negative things, or we start isolating ourselves. In this moment, I started thinking like, God, why in those moments? Because you and I, we look for signs. So he could have easily like, yep, there's the earthquake. Oh, must be God showing up. But he didn't say that. It says literally that the mountain that he was standing on crumbled. And he spoke a whisper to him. And I asked the Lord, like, why is it that that is what happened? Think about this for a moment. Why would the Lord whisper during this moment? I think it was to reveal to Elijah that he was close. I think it was for Elijah to understand, you might have ran 100 miles away, but I'm still here. How do you hear a whisper? You got to be close. You got to be close. Anybody can hear the loud. In fact, I think the enemy is the one that screams loud. You know why the enemy screams loud? Because he's trying to get you to not hear the whisper. He whispers and he lets Elijah know, Elijah, I got you. You ran, listen, and this is, you ran thinking you could run away from what God does, and God shows up and says, I'm still here. And listen, it's not where God wanted you. But that doesn't mean God's finished with you. See, most of the time, we tend to base our relationship with God on what people have done to us. Right? So I have a parent that hurt me, or I have a friend that hurt me. I assume that God's going to do the exact thing. It's not how God operates. That's not God, you guys. That's the loud voice of the enemy who's saying to us pride and arrogance and all these things. But God whispers, letting us know that he is still here. And this is what we need to see. I think the other thing that I thought about this week, that most of the things that I worry about never happen. And then I would think about this. What we worry about does happen, but it's not as bad as I had it in my mind. It's a scenario, and I'll even throw this scenario in. What we worry about is bad, and it's worse than we ever thought. That happens. But he always whispers. He's always there. He never leaves. He never turns his back. He never forsakes. He whispers because he's close. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, bring your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds, your souls in Christ Jesus. Would you stand with me? Would you pray? I'm going to pray this prayer over you. God, thank you. And God, we ask that by the power of the name that is above every other name, that even in the middle of our doubts, our trials, our anxiety, our worries, our fears, our insecurity, God, that we could experience a peace from heaven today that goes beyond any human ability to understand. God, I pray for those who have a burden, a weight. They feel crushed. They feel overwhelmed. They feel anxious. They feel worried. In fact, if you're in this room and you feel weighed down today, I would say something is weighing you down. Maybe it's something that happened to you. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's a question. You just feel a weight. Maybe you feel overwhelmed. Maybe you're in this room and your heart is so hard, you want to feel what you felt before. Maybe as you remember what God has done, maybe it was a camp, maybe it was a mission trip, maybe it was a service, and you want to feel that again. And for whatever reason, you feel like you just can't feel that anymore. Maybe it's because we've ran so far away. But God says to us today, I am close. I am close. I am close. If you're in this room today and you say, maybe that's you, could you just lift a hand? Just say, God, I need you today. This is you just acknowledging. This is you just saying, I have doubts, I have insecurities. I should be honest today. And there's something that happens when we lift our hands and let go. And God shows up. God, I just pray for every hand in this room. Every person that feels burdened in this room. Every struggle, every trial. God, we come to you today. And God, we bring our petitions. We bring our struggles. And we say, God, would you meet us here? God, I am so grateful that you didn't say, Elijah, run back and I'll meet you there. But you met him at the end of his rope. And maybe there's people in this room today, you feel that you're at the end of your rope. I just want you to know that God is there. God is there.